You know, so often these, even the wholesome, feel-good movies, however, fall short. The plots attempt to fabricate the goodness of Christmas without the central figure of Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is weary. It's trying to fabricate a hope. You know, you look at these watch these movies or see these things, and oh man, you know, it's fun and it's exciting, and but then they try to fabricate this hope, but it's a false hope. It's a hope of good cheer and fuzzy feelings, but it can't last because it has pushed Jesus out of Christmas. You know, Satan's way is that of replacement and forgetting. He has replaced Christ with all the trappings and all the hustle and all the bustle and all the warm fuzzies of this season. But the enemy doesn't have to get you to deny Christ. Just forget him. Christmas is all about Jesus. No Jesus, no Christmas. And so we need to come back to the foundation of Christmas. Christmas is all about Jesus. And I just want to encourage you to allow these truths to be life-changing for you here today. So turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, we're looking at verses 1 through 7. Now remember, the world was weary. The Jews had been under the tyranny of multiple Gentile empires. You think of the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar, and then the Medo-Persian Empire, and then the Greco Empire with Alexander the Great, and as we mentioned last week, Antiochus Epiphanes, right? Who marched through, and he committed the abomination of desolation. And then along came the Roman government, the Roman Empire. Things seemed to kind of settle down a little bit, but through all of this, you have these empires who were Gentile-dominated empires over Israel. And Israel was weary. They were looking for a Messiah, their Messiah, who hadn't come as of yet. The world was weary. They were looking for hope. And the greatest tyranny, however, as they were looking ahead to the hope of being saved from Gentile domination, a ruler who would free them from that kind of domination. But the greatest tyranny was the bondage of sin. The bondage of being held captive under the law. Look at chapter 3. You're in chapter 4, but turn back to chapter 3, just a page or so. But the Scripture, chapter 3, verse 22, but the Scripture imprisoned everything under sin. There's the bondage of sin. So that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law. Imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So in this passage, you find the greatest hope over tyranny and bondage, chapter 4, verse 1. I mean that an heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent his spirit, the spirit of his son, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Here's your take-home thought this morning, and that is, rejoice in freedom. Just simply rejoice in freedom. The freedom that you have through the Lord Jesus Christ. As a child of God, you can rejoice in the freedom from bondage. You know, you remember the last day of school, you know, this before summer vacation, it was like, I'm free. Remember that? You know, it's like, you know, no more teachers, no more books, no more teachers. I can't remember. Anyway, that's not in my notes here. But you're free. And you know what? Graduation was even better, you know. There's just a burden of school. I don't know. It's just different. It, you know, just all the requirements, all the things you got to do in order to get, and you got to get them done and everything. And but then you graduate, and it's like, I'm free. We're talking about that kind of freedom, only better. All right. Speaking to the Galatian believers in chapter 3 again, verse 26, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So in light of that, last week we encouraged you to put the bondage of the past behind you. Put the bondage of the past behind you. That, with God's help, you are able to do that. You can overcome the bondage of slavery. See that in verse 1. And the bondage of subjection in verse 2. And the bondage of regulations in verse 3. All of those situations indicate a bondage, a restriction. And we're going to learn today that God wants you to live freely through Jesus Christ. So that was the put-off last week. That was the put-off aspect of your relationship with God. But today's encouragement is to rejoice in living freely. Rejoice in this. Put on the freedom of life that you have as a child of God. Look at verse 4 there. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive the adoption as sons. This is a great Christmas passage. I think it is. In fact, I heard Pastor Doug say, this is my favorite Christmas passage. When the fullness of time had come. That means at just the right moment. Look at verse 2 once again. We were subject to guardians until a time that was previously set by the Father. And that's what you have here in verse 4. At just the right moment, God sent His Son. It was a moment set by the Father. It was the right moment. Just a few thoughts. You don't have these in your notes, but you can jot these down. It was the right moment in several ways. In God's chronological plan, it was the right moment. First of all, it was the moment that God had scheduled. God scheduled it. I think of Mary. You're welcome to turn to Luke chapter 1. And we had this ministry of music. Thank you, Ron, and Jeremy, and just for your help and helping us think through what happened to Mary at this moment. Did she know these things? It says in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, in the sixth month, talking about the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Verse 30, and the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Look at verse 34. Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? Interesting question that Mark Lowry's mom answered, really. If anybody knew that there was a virgin birth, it was Mary. Verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. The time spoken here in verse 4 at just the right moment was given to Daniel. It was 483 years after the edict of the Medo-Persian government to rebuild Jerusalem. These dominoes had to fall in order for that to take place. Jesus was born so that that prophecy could be fulfilled as God had planned. We could say, well, it was just happenstance. Really? No. God planned it. God was in control. And as you think about that, Things that go on in your life aren't happenstance either, whatever they may be. God is sovereign. Have you had anything unexpected happen this week? Now, I haven't been following you around, so I don't know what you have gone through. Maybe your car died. It's just one of those, or flat tire. Maybe the water heater went out, started leaking all over the closet or basement floor. Maybe you had a fraudulent charge on your credit card. I don't know about you, but when that happens to me, it's like, ooh, it's like, oh no, I can't believe this. And I got to go through and make all these phone calls and everything. These things just aren't on our schedule. They're not on our radar. We don't plan them. We don't put them on our agenda. But what does God have for you? What has He planned? It may be a trial, maybe a challenge, maybe a heartache. You think about this past year and all that, whether you have gone through them or others. We know that there's been some loss of loved ones. There's been some challenges, difficulties, illnesses. These are things that we don't put on our agenda, right? But we need to believe and know that God is sovereign, that He's in control. And He planned it according to His will and to His glory. Designed just for you. For His good purpose. We may not understand what those purposes are, but knowing that God has good purpose for it should encourage your heart. He's sovereign. He controls. Whatever it is, it didn't take God by surprise. So, look at verse 38 of Luke chapter 1. Can you respond as Mary did? And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." It was the right moment. Another way it was the right moment is the Mosaic Law did its job. The Mosaic Law did its job. Now, this fits into Paul's argument. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Christ came at just the right time to free those who were born under a legal system, so that they could experience the full rights, the full inheritance as a grown son, living freely, not in bondage to the restriction of the law." The law was in verses 1 to 3, called the guardian or a manager. The King James says the schoolmaster that brought you to Jesus. The Mosaic Law proved that there's no way that you or I could possibly fulfill the law. We just, with all of the regulations that were going, there's no way. And it was the schoolmaster, it was the guardian that pointed you to Jesus, who fulfilled the law in every way, but He was the fulfillment of it. It's the faith of chapter 3 of which He's speaking, that it all culminates and resides in Him. No longer under the bondage of the law. I think of Joseph in this situation. Matthew chapter 1. He was under the legal system. Look at verse 18. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18. And again, these are accounts of which we are familiar because it's Christmas, right? But think about this in that Joseph was under the legal system. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. They were engaged, ready to get married. But my fiance is pregnant, and it wasn't me. You could just sense the consternation of that moment. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. He had the legal right to do that. But as he considered these things, verse 20, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph had legal rights. He was living under the legal system, and yet he was willing to exercise grace through this because of what God had said. It was also the right moment that the time was right for the gospel to spread. The time for the law, the Ten Commandments, and the social Gentile relationships, the Levitical sacrifices, it was time for those to be set aside. The time was right. Why? Because it was set aside so that the gospel could be preached. Synagogues. You had the temple, but synagogues were places that were made so the Jews who couldn't make it all the way to the temple in Jerusalem, they had these satellite buildings, meeting places. You probably sense I wanted to call them churches. They weren't churches yet, right? They were synagogues. They were places where the Jews could go and they could worship. But you know what? You think about the book of Acts, and when Paul was a missionary to the then known world, what did he do? When he was looking for a place to preach the gospel, one of the first places he would look for when he went into a town was a synagogue, where religious people met, specifically Jewish religious people met, and he could go in there and he could tell them about Jesus, the Messiah of which they were looking forward to receiving, and the time was right for that, because these were being built around the then known world. Convenient locations. I think of the shepherds. Think of the spreading of the gospel, Luke chapter 2. Again, another familiar passage, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Verse 16. And they, the shepherds, went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. What was that saying? Well, what did the angel say? Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, your Messiah, who's Christ the Lord. And so they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. Mary treasured these things, pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The shepherds were kind of the first evangelists, right? I mean, they were like, yeah, I'm going to tell everybody, you know, this is a great thing. Good news, it shall be for all the people. The time was right for the gospel to be spread, for the gospel to spread. And it's also, the time was right in that Earth's stage was set and ready for the Messiah. It was politically and socially time. The Roman Empire had maintained a semblance of peace around the world. They had built roads so that the gospel could spread. The language of the culture was Greek, so that it was kind of the universal language at the time. And it just gave opportunity for the gospel to go into the then known world. The timing was right. And it was right in that God sent his son, commissioned for a task. Jesus came for the express purpose of accomplishing salvation. Born of a woman, speaking of the virgin birth, he was God who became man. I don't care what anybody tells you, the virgin birth is essential to the doctrine of salvation. because that's the way God could become man. Fully, truly God and truly man. Born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. Verse 5, back to Galatians chapter 4. So that we might receive adoption as sons. So that's a discussion as to why was the timing right? This was good for this to happen at this time. God planned it, and then the world was ready for it. The weary world could rejoice in that God scheduled it at just the right time. That's a good place for an amen. All right. So this morning I want to give you some reasons to rejoice. Reasons to rejoice. The first one is rejoice, you are purchased. Rejoice, you are purchased. Jesus came to redeem you. You were purchased out of a slave market. Never to return, never to go back to the slave market again. Verse 4 again. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth the Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under law so that we might receive adoption as sons. He redeemed those who were under law. In the original language, in the Greek, there's no definite article here. So he's not talking about just Judaism, but he's talking about the legal system of a paganism as well. I mentioned this last week. Any religion out there that is not focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ has something for you to do, right? You got to do a bunch of things in order to gain some kind of relationship with God. But he bought you back out from under a legal system. He provided redemption for all who believe, Jew or Gentile. The implication of this is upon faith, you don't have to keep looking over your shoulder for fear that you did something wrong. That's security. That's one reason why, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are eternally secure. In faith, you're in God's hands. You don't have to keep wondering, did I mess up? Did I do something wrong? You know, you think about that in light of a job that you might have, and you're trying to do it right, and you're just afraid that if I mess up, I'm going to lose my job. Can't happen in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's not a matter of he loves you, he loves you not, he loves you, he loves you not. You are redeemed. He redeemed you from under the law. You were bought back with a price. It's like a slave who had escaped, was captured by another slave owner, sold on the slave market. And the original owner says, I'll buy my slave back. It makes me think of the book of Philemon in the New Testament. Philemon was a slave owner, and Onesimus, his slave, ran away. And Paul encourages Philemon to take him back. And Pastor Nate, thank you for preaching through Philemon a couple of years ago, because that just opened my eyes to, that's a picture of the gospel, right? That's a picture of the gospel. Philemon pictured Jesus Christ buying us back out of the slave market. He redeemed you. And you can be free. Free from guilt as a result of forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I've had sin in my life. I think we all have, right? And there have been times when I've sinned, and the weight of guilt is just like, it just eats at you. And when you come to Jesus, first of all, in salvation, that weight of guilt is lifted. More than one person I've talked to who I've seen come to Jesus and ask Jesus to save them, is they'll pray and they'll just invite Jesus to be their Savior, and they'll thank God for their salvation, and in Jesus' name, amen. And they'll open their eyes and they get a big smile on their face and wow, man, I feel better already. It's like a burden was lifted. You know, have you ever been backpacking? You know, you go backpacking and you carry all your stuff, whether it's for a day or whether it's for a week or whatever it is. You got all your stuff, but man, especially if you're going up and down hills, and man, you sit down, you take a break. When you take your break, you take the backpack off. And it's like, oh, yeah. You know, the burden is off. That's what happens when you come to Jesus. The burden of sin and guilt. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been times where I've, man, when I sinned, it's like, oh, man, I just, it just, I've known I should not have done that, and I've asked God to forgive me, and if I confess my sin, He's faithful and just, forgive my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Yes, God, I know that, but I still just feel, just feel so guilty, you know. I just should not have done that. The question is, are you forgiven? Well, absolutely. If we confess, and you did, and is He faithful and just to forgive? And He is. Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Is that true? Absolutely. And so what you didn't need to do is you need to think forgiven, to realize, you know what? That sin, whatever it is the sin that put Jesus on the cross. Your sin and mine is the reason why Jesus died. And He paid the penalty for that sin. No longer to be taken back up again. You believe it is true. It's a faith. It's a matter of faith. And that's what Galatians 3 is talking about. When faith came, there's freedom in Jesus. So rejoice. Rejoice that you are purchased. Secondly, rejoice that you have all the rights of adoption. God sent forth His Son to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Because He became subject to the law to the point of death, paid the debt of sin by dying, entering into a realm where the legal system doesn't have jurisdiction. Death. And then as a result, He brought you back, placed you, adopted you as an adult son, where your freedom as an adult as opposed to the restrictions and restraints of the childhood. You know, when our kids became adults, they gained a certain amount of freedom. Both of our kids lived at home for a little while they were adults. And since they were adults, we didn't say, you got to be home by 11, you know. And we did ask, if you are going to be late, please call, let us know. And just so we're not laying awake worrying about where you are. But they had some freedom. Those kinds of things. We said, pull your weight at home. We didn't give them a list of chores, but we said, you know, there's things that you see something that needs to be done. Help us get it done. Don't wait around for me to tell you to get it done, you know. But there was freedom. And in the same way, as adult children of God, you're free. You're free to serve. I'll tell you, if you're not serving, you're missing out. There's a blessing of serving one another in the body of Christ and serving the Lord through the ministry of FBC. There's a freedom there. And there's a blessing. We have deacons who are, they're like, man, I just love to serve. Guess what? That's why we ask them to be deacons. You know, they just love to serve. They're serving faithfully. You're free to love. I think that's one of the blessings of coming together for Christmas. I mean, we have this opportunity to love one another. We have the opportunity to lay aside some differences. You know, you might look at some of those songs that we're singing and think, I don't know that song. I don't know the tune to that, but you look at the words and it's like, man, that's good stuff. You see, you can lay aside those differences. That's a good thing. We have our preferences, but we need to chill out about those, right? Relax and enjoy one another in the fellowship. My dad told me, he says, I love this. Man, I get to see everybody and get to talk to them. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen my dad when he comes out of choir. He's shaking hands all the way down, you know. It's great. It's good. Free as we keep our focus on Jesus. Focus on the gospel. And celebrate what God is doing. You know, just look around and you just see what God is doing here in and through the ministry of FBC. It's exciting. So there's freedom. We rejoice in all the rites of adoption. Another way is to rejoice that you have an intimate relationship with God. Verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The word Abba is akin to our word daddy. You know, to think that you can go before Almighty God and say daddy. The Spirit accomplishes that on our behalf. He cries. The idea here is to have loud, earnest cryings. Part of that indicates a joy in distress. Isn't that interesting that you can have joy even though you're going through difficulty? You can go to God. It's like, you know, you think about the movie Wizard of Oz, you know. I am the great and powerful Oz. You know, they come over, you know, and it's like, you can go before God, Almighty God of the universe, and just humbly, dear Heavenly Father, Abba, Father, in the name of Jesus, you're in the very presence of Almighty God. An intimate, because Jesus came at just the right time, you can have this intimate relationship with God. And rejoice also in that you are an heir. You are no longer a slave, verse 7, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. By grace you have received the inheritance. Rejoice, you are an heir. And by His grace you've received an inheritance. And part of that inheritance is that you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And not the least of which that inheritance is, get this, eternal life. You know, it's like, you know, you see these stories and read books and watch movies and, oh man, what they would do to have eternal life and that all of, that people would go through. You know, you come to Jesus, you have eternal life. Live forever with God. No more death, no more dying, no more pain, no more suffering. And in comprehending these truths, get this, you no longer have to sin. Now, nobody has arrived. Nobody here at FBC has arrived. But we've seen people become victorious over sin. You have the freedom of living God's way. Now, again, I have had sins in my life of which I am ashamed. And I don't like to talk about them. And they've been sins that just crept into my life and I cried out to God, oh God, help me. And when I took that seriously and I said, God, I confess those as sin and I repent, I turn away from those and I've known and I've experienced the freedom that there is in Jesus Christ. And I want, there may be someone here, you're struggling with this sin, a life-dominating or habitual sin. Oftentimes we call them addictions. Listen, we have seen people who were addicted to substances of some sort have victory through Jesus Christ. We've seen people overcome those things in their lives. There are some people that I know who have been Christians for, they've been Christian for a long time, and then I find out that way back after they first came to Jesus, man, they struggled with some sins. And you're like, really? That happened in your life? Yep. But man, God delivered me. There's freedom. There's freedom in Christ. And there's victory as we see that Jesus came at just the right time to redeem the world, to provide salvation for those who would believe. And if you are stuck in sin, the answer is Jesus. And to come to Jesus in faith, believing that there's victory over sin. You don't have to continue in it. As an unbeliever, come to Jesus. There are some believers who continue because they just don't understand some of these truths of which we've spoken here today. And they continue in it, and they're just weighed down by guilt. And I just want you to know that through Jesus and the gospel, you go back to continuing to live in light of the gospel, and you realize, I came to Jesus, and He provides the victory over sin and death. And I want to live in light of those truths. I just want to encourage you to live freely in Christ as you come to Him and come to salvation through Jesus Christ. And there's that victory. You're no longer a victim. You're a victor through Jesus Christ. To the honor and glory of God, not by your own strength and not by your own wits and all. It's by faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Let's ask for His continual help. Heavenly Father, thank You for all that we have in Christ Jesus. And knowing that Jesus came at just the right time to buy us back out of that slave market of sin and legalism, and we have the opportunity to live freely in Christ. And as we do that, we do that out of a grateful heart and to bring glory to Your name, to show the world and those around us, look what Jesus did for me, and He can do that for you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, may we all be faithful to be the kind of testimony and witness that God desires to be us to be regarding victory over sin. So let me give you that hope as we minister God's word to your heart. With God's help, you can overcome. You can know that freedom. If you've never come to Jesus, we invite you to come to Jesus. We encourage everyone to fill out a connection card. And on that connection card, you can check for pastors only and say, I need Jesus, or I want to get saved. I have questions about that. If you're a believer and there's a matter over which you need some direction and maybe you're still struggling with something, just say, I'm struggling, I need help. And may these truths encourage you to be faithful to the Lord as a child of God. I'll be available to talk with you after the service here, be in the back over here. We're going to have our communion here in just a moment. As we prepare our hearts for communion, that we think about the provision that God has provided through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Thank You, Lord, I pray. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand again as we express the need we have in Jesus through song.
Lord, I need You. Oh,
You may be seated. Take a few moments to share our communion time together. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 27. It says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. A man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly." We encourage 2 points of examination. First of all, are you certain of salvation through Jesus? If you're not sure, it would be best to just wait and get questions answered. If you're like, what's this all about? We want to help you with that, but it would be best to just say, well, I'm going to wait. Don't just go along with the crowd, all right? Secondly, the second point of examination is for many of you who have trusted Christ as Savior. This is an opportunity. I think it's one good reason why we pass the elements and wait till the end. While the elements are being passed, that you can examine your heart. Is there any known unconfessed sin that needs to be settled? And this is the time to get those matters settled. And as we do that, we invite you then to commune with us. Encourage you to meditate on Scripture while the elements are being passed. You can meditate on Isaiah chapter 53. Talks about the Messiah and what he's accomplished on our behalf. Just a reminder that as the elements are being passed, take the tray from the person next to you and allow them then to take the elements out of the tray. You pass it to the next person, and then you take the elements from them, because you're going to take the bread and the cup together, all right? So pass it to the next person, then take the elements. Again, let's keep our focus on the Lord. We're going to have a moment of silent prayer, and then I'll ask Matt Coberly to ask the blessing on the bread. Let's pray.
Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together with our whole church as one to worship you, Lord, and we thank you for what you did for us by coming as a baby to willingly live and go through the difficulties and the trials and tribulations that we do face on this earth. Lord, you understand all of those, and you willingly came and suffered the difficulties of this life for over 30 years before, all the while knowing that you would one day be broken and die for us, Lord. We oftentimes, I don't think, understand that during this time of the year, but that was really what it's all about, that you came to be broken and die for us so that one day we could live with you. Thank you for that, and help us to remember that.